Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Shannon Young.
Sound excited when you introduce me.
Sorry. Introducing PZ85 creator and co-owner, Shannon Young. Mr. 100.
Yeah, what do you want?
That better? Does that suit you?
That's fine.
And Mandy Kennedy.
Oh, now I get like a loser one after your intro.
Nerd Ups, cool. Mandy Kennedy. The very show she's on right now.
Oh, stop it, guys.
On Sunday.
You're embarrassing me. Embarrassing me. Hi, fellas.
So, yeah. I don't know where to go from there.
We're surprisingly low energy considering we all slept like 14 hours last night.
Yeah, so yesterday we went to Popper Bluff for the
SEMO Cosplay Festival.
Yeah, the annual SEMO Cosplay Festival. We're going to talk a lot more about that on Thursday, I think, right, Shannon?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But if we sound low energy, we've got some energy drinks here in front of us, but... we're real tired. And it's also a morning show because there's a wrestling pay-per-view tonight.
Oh, Backlash.
You better be getting really used to that. There's 19 coming up. Like, in the next year, there's 19 of them.
There's another one in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware.
Jesse, today I'm drinking Monster Rehab Energy Iced Tea plus Pink Lemonade.
It is disgusting, isn't it?
You know what? I've got a case of Rip It Energy drinks coming to me thanks to Lord Kirby Ray on Real Rock 99.3, and I won the contest last week somehow. I'm not sure why, but I won.
It's the tribute rippets, they're not too bad.
Just make sure you don't pour that stuff down the drain.
I like the blue and orange ones.
It might just eat your pipes to nothing.
I'm going
to
pour it onto my enemies.
That is an effective use.
We'll see you later, Dalton.
Oh. Bye, Dalton. Sorry about you. All right. So anyway, on to actual news stuff today. We're gonna talk about a whole lot about Sony. They had a lot of stuff happen in the last week. That's going to be towards the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. I know.
That was the first thing he talked about during the pre-show.
Because this is the biggest topic.
And then he swapped it on us.
Bait and switch. Yeah, I'm actually going to go almost in entirely reverse order from the pre-show.
So you're going to start with a thing that I know nothing about.
Pretty much.
All right, cool. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. So, yeah. So, one of the things we got announced, Ben Affleck said that Joe Manganiello is going to be Deathstroke.
Oh, he has to look at his paper every time he says his name.
Because his name, there's so many letters. And
just spell it out phonetically. S hooks.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about it on Thursday. But, yeah. So many letters. Anyway, he's going to be Deathstroke, which I'm mostly okay with. Like, I really want to like that casting. But I can't see him as anything other than the douchey, muscular lawyer from How I Met Your Mother.
Watch, what was the, it was a Schwarzenegger film. I can't remember the name of it.
Give me 1 second, I'm on it. I think it was Sabotage. The Last Stand.
Sabotage. No, Last Stand was when he was the sheriff.
I watched him in True Blood, because I watched True Blood.
Again, though, if you're watching him in these, like, kind of drama type things, watch him in Sabotage, where he's a kind of a mercenary, and you see him actually shooting and killing people. Gives you much more of a Deathstroke vibe.
I mean, I understand that, but I mean, he's also supposed to be this, you know, big bad mofo in True Blood because he's a werewolf, and you know, he fights and kills people and all this other nonsense. But I can't see past How I Met Your Mother, where he's this, check out my muscles, bro. Like through the every time you see him,
Joe Manganiello was Flash Thompson in Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
No, yeah,
it's been a while. No, it was Sabotage. That was the Schwarzenegger film he was in.
Christ! When are you people going to stop arguing with me about movies?
I learned years ago not to. Shannon knows. Like, if Shannon's very confident about something in a movie,
you
can rest assured it is correct.
He's also married to Sofia Vergara.
Yes.
So the man's doing well for himself.
He's also in the Magic Mike films.
He's also a very pretty
man. Kevin Nash.
Ooh. Yeah, he's a gorgeous human
I think
being.
He'll kill it. Because Deathstroke is kind of a douche anyway.
Mm. Yep.
A muscular douche. So the guy's already, you know, two-thirds there. All he has to know is how to talk and shoot people, and I think he can do that.
Yeah, I feel like it'll be fine. And Ben Affleck has such a huge respect for Batman and that lore, so I think he's going to do a fine job with casting because it is, you know, being written, directed, and everything else by him.
Ben Affleck to Batman is like the good version of Nick Cage to Ghost Rider, because Ghost Rider, Nick Cage is a huge fan of, big fanboy. And, of course, he was all over the Ghost Rider films. Those films were terrible in every way. I'm trying to think of one positive thing to say about it. I can't think of anything.
There's nothing.
The best thing you can say is the first one wasn't that bad. It wasn't quite Elektra, but it was definitely better than Suicide Squad.
I almost walked out of that movie.
I hated Suicide Squad, and I hate the culture it's created. And we'll talk about that more on Thursday.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't say that Ghost Rider was better than Suicide Squad.
Well,
no, he might be right.
I can't decide. It's a toss up.
You said you can't not look at Chuck Mangione and
Joe Manganiello.
There you go.
I get that joke.
And see anything other than the douche from How I Met Your Mother. Try watching Ghost Rider and trying to pretend Nick Cage is Johnny Blaze.
I only picture him in National Treasure.
You're not wrong.
I only picture him in those videos I see of him overacting, you know?
So any movie he's
any film he's ever been in.
I like National Treasure.
Well, I'm not saying his movies aren't fun. They're very fun. It's just he himself is just a bad actor.
You're not wrong.
And that works in his favor sometimes.
Yeah, because like the not as Ghost Rider in like Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that like his portrayal of Big Daddy was awesome.
He was basically like kind of like Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
just super over the top. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back on topic here, I don't know what like one of the big things that I liked in Arrow, like one of the castings that I really liked was Manu Bennett as Deathstroke. I thought like that was a perfect casting. He was a great character. It was the Arrow, though, so it was written kind of poorly, or at least I didn't agree with how it was written. Man, it's really gone downhill. But anyway, I don't know if he'll be able to top that performance, but
well, that's been a problem with the CW shows a lot. Is every time they make the transition to film and they don't cast the guys that were in the TV show, you're kind of like, why? You had this perfectly good version right here, like Superman, the guy that played Superman in Smallville. Even though I wasn't a huge fan of Smallville because he never was Superman, you can't argue that he didn't do a good job.
He did put on, I think, the shirt at the end.
At the very end, the very last episode, he puts on the entire outfit and flies away.
Tom Welling.
After like 20 seasons, he finally becomes Superman. But why not put him in the movie instead
that
of...
That show went for 10 years.
Yeah, and he became Superman in the last episode. But why not put him in there instead of Henry Cavill?
Henry Cavill, though, is also great.
He's too serious. Like, in my opinion, he doesn't have that boy charm
to me,
that Superman has.
I really blame the writing for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things. Like, it's kind of like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. Like, I think that Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man was bad just because he was low energy. He wasn't enthusiastic. He never cut any jokes. And, yeah.
It's a new version of him, though. Like Joker and Harlequin and then Suicide Squad. It's just new versions, dude.
Stop.
Get with the program.
Stop. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, for the same reason. Yeah, because I do feel like Superman needs to be that, like, charming, optimistic, like, champion of justice and the people.
He's basically Captain America, just turned up higher.
It turned up to 11 all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, that's not what Henry Cavill Superman has been so far.
That's because he's gritty.
Yeah, it's been gritty. He's mostly been depressed about, like, I don't know what to do because every time I try to do good, like, bad things happen.
And you know what? That's fine. You can have that. But you have to have that after so much time to let him be the hero. You can't just have Superman in the very first movie go, oh, well, what am I doing? Is this wrong? You have to have him, you build him up. Then when he falls, it means more.
Right.
You can't just have him in the same movie go, okay, I'm a hero. No, I'm actually not. What do I do now? Oh, now I'm dead.
Again.
But I'm not. Here's some rocks.
Uh-huh.
God. Bless it.
Yeah.
Bless it.
There you go.
Yeah, no. I've even said during the Suicide Squad that DC EU, whatever it's called.
DCUE.
Yeah. It needed another Superman movie.
Or is it DC EU?
It's one of the two.
Entertainment Universe, I think, is it?
That's what they're calling it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So, anyway.
They actually call that entertainment?
They needed another Superman movie. They needed Man of Steel 2, and then they needed two Batman movies before we got to Batman v Superman or Suicide Squad. Because it's so disjointed right now because we don't have a solid timeline of anything.
Oh, they're calling it the Extended Universe.
So, it is DCU EU, yeah.
Nor do they have a backstory for Harley and Joker, other than a couple flashbacks.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We needed two Batman movies.
You need an establishment.
Yeah.
You have to establish. Like, you can't rely on people going, okay, well, I know who Joker and Harley is, so I don't need a backstory. But when you change them, now you have to have the backstory, because you can't have Dalton breaking the microphone while I'm talking.
See, I agree with that, because it's one of those things. Like, I would be A-okay with them if they didn't change the characters. If they use the characters that everybody already knows, then there's no need to have a backstory, and that's fine. Kind of like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We've gotten two movies with backstory for Spider-Man. We don't need to know it again.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, even with the MCU, They gave us how many movies did we have before we even got to Avengers?
We had it was one for every hero.
We had
five movies: Hulk, two Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor before we got to the Avengers.
Yeah, and in the DCEU, we got Man of Steel, and then Batman v Superman,
which introduced the Justice League. And that's the next one. We're getting Wonder Woman, and then we're getting Justice League.
And I understand why you can't go back to the CW and just go, okay, well, we've established the characters, so let's move them into the movie universe, which is what I thought they were going to do.
But which makes sense, because they had some great casting.
They did.
CW shows.
Like Flash.
That kid is perfect, Barry Allen.
So, of course, we're not going to have him in the movie. Instead, we have Ezra Miller, who's not going to do a bad job.
No, and I'm the one person. I love Grant Gustafson as the TV Flash. I am such a fan of Ezra Miller, where I'm perfectly okay with it. If they do Green Arrow and it's somebody other than Stephen Amell, which it will be. It's going to be really dumb because that is the face of the Arrow.
Which, I'd be okay with. As much as I like Stephen Amell, that show has left such a bad taste in my mouth. And plus, my Oliver Queen is just this, charismatic, blonde hair, Robin Hood-looking goatee mofo.
The Errol Flynn.
Yeah.
It's Errol Flynn, basically.
And that's who I need as my Oliver Queen in a Justice League movie.
Well, now they got Superman coming into Supergirl.
Yeah.
And you would say that's a terrible way to say that. That's how they worded it on the poster. Mm-hmm. Superman is coming in Supergirl.
Yep.
I'm not joking.
Because the Supergirl TV show.
Yeah.
They could have clarified that a little better.
Maybe. Would have been better.
I don't know how that got past editing.
But now the Superman that's going to be on the Supergirl TV show is not Henry Cavill. It's another guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, the TV universes are completely unrelated.
Stop doing that. You know, you can't. Remember Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? You know who was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Sam Jackson as Nick Fury was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, we also got Colby Smothers as
Carter was the same, Maria, wasn't she?
Yeah, Maria Hill.
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
They didn't recast Sam Jackson's character. They didn't just have another bald black guy come in and play Nick Fury. They actually got Sam Jackson. So why not tie your universes together like Marvel? If you're going to rip Marvel off and go, okay, well, we can do the Avengers. Here's the Justice League. They're even cooler than the Avengers, which
look
they kind
of are.
Look at all
these superpowered people.
Yeah. If you're going to copy them in that sense, copy them in every sense. Find the person that's most popular in your class and do what they do. That's how you become popular. Do not be yourself. Has that worked out for Dalton lately?
Oh.
Why?
No, and the one thing that's really frustrating, I don't know if I've ever said this on a show before, the one thing that's really frustrating about DC and their whole movie thing is they own the rights to all of their characters. They don't have the Marvel issue.
Yep, right.
They don't have the one where they have to go talk to other studios to get Spider-Man in. If they want Nightwing in a movie, it can happen.
Yeah.
You have to have a lot of explanation to
or
figure
out. Or don't. Just go, well, here he is.
You know, yeah, and now that I said that, we might as well have a Nightwing movie.
Who needs
please make that happen.
Uh-huh. Who needs backstories?
Yeah. We'll get Chris O'Donnell back.
I don't like you. That's not funny.
Right.
Oh, no, and I can't think of his name, but not a...
Marlon Wayans.
No, God, I hate you. Supernatural, not... Dean.
Jerry Padalecki.
Him. He would be a perfect Nightwing. Anytime I've ever thought of a Nightwing movie, I want him.
I mean, not anymore.
He's 30 plus.
Older, he's getting a little old.
Yeah. Although he could still play it, honestly.
Yeah.
Those guys, you know.
He's going to cut his hair.
And honestly, he's 10 years younger than Ben Affleck. In this universe, it would work. Just say Nightwing's been operating for 10 years.
I can't wait for the new Batman movie because I want to see how they run this. Because isn't it a prequel?
Yeah.
To Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
Good God!
We don't have a timeline.
Oh my God.
But I think it's going to be great because Ben Affleck.
It will be. He will do the best job as Batman ever.
Yes.
Ever.
He already has given us the best Batman performance we've gotten.
I agree. 100%. He was the shining star of the Batman v Superman film. Which, by the way, people that's...
she's partial to Gal Gadot.
I'm going to say that Wonder Woman's the bomb.
Well, if anyone ever says, what's the best part of Batman v Superman, it's always either Gal Gadot or Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
There's no argument. It's no one else.
Yeah.
No one else in that movie does anyone go, well, I also liked... No, you didn't. Shut your mouth.
It was Ben Affleck or Gal Gadot.
I really liked that half second of Ezra Miller I saw.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Jason Momoa as Aquaman was kind of cool.
That was also kind of cool. And then when he just burst away.
Yeah.
That was kind of neat.
I want that Justice League movie so bad. Even after Suicide Squad, just because that Flash looks like it's going to be fun. Like, that Flash character looks like he's going to be the best part of that
movie.
I mean,
that Flash movie might be all right.
I don't understand why Flash was already in Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, in full gear, no explanation. Again, well, you can't not establish these characters.
Well, no, because the way I'm looking at it, that I can kind of defend.
Well, let's look at the timeline real quick. Just real quick. Let me interrupt you. Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
He was at a grocery store, a gas station.
An old encrypted video.
Ran around, stopped something. Immediately flash forward to Suicide Squad. Now he's in full costume stopping superheroes and or supervillains in, what is the city called? Future City?
If I remember correctly. Central City.
Central City. Yeah. Who's Future City? Is that a thing?
Booster Gold, maybe?
I love Booster Gold. I really want to see Booster Gold.
What a ridiculous character.
I love him.
But no, it could be the whole thing of just like, yeah, he's in full gear. Do you think anybody believed Captain Boomerang that a little red streak beat him and that's how he got like arrested? Do you think maybe he's not being public with him being a hero?
I'm pretty sure Captain Boomerang could be beat by any hero. Mandy could take down Captain Boomerang.
But no, what I'm saying is like, do you think anybody's going to believe him? Be like, oh no, it was a bolt of blue lightning and then a guy in a red suit came up. Nobody's going to believe that.
I've never even
actually
heard of this person.
Now that I say it, that's kind of dumb. That's a dumb theory because Superman and Batman are things.
My only theory is that that video was old. So yeah. In the time that video was taken, or that video could have been just like he was just being Barry Allen in a store.
Yeah,
like he just wasn't in costume because he didn't have it with him because he was going grocery shopping.
Where does Flash work?
He's a CSI,
crime scene investigator.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did Flash get that armored suit?
He made it.
Yeah, that's all.
How did the guy from CSI make an armored suit?
He went to the lady that's in The Incredibles.
Yeah. That's canon now.
I want that to be a thing.
If it had been just a like latex suit or a costume, okay, maybe. But this dude had full on armored suit.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go. Well, how did he get that? Like, and there's no explanation.
You have to believe it. Okay, let's just get past it because we're just speculating on a terrible universe. We all agree.
I didn't think
bad.
I would find Maybe a universe
made
worse than this one.
Iron Man.
But really quick, mm-hmm. After what Mandy said, instead of it being DC characters, I do want that character name drop in a Marvel movie about how they got all the like because it's all Disney now, so they can easily put Iron Man in The Incredibles 2.
Oh, that's really true.
And that's why you don't write these movies because
I'd
that's a terrible idea, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Putting Marvel heroes in The Incredibles.
I hate The Incredibles. I'll say it. I hate The Incredibles.
Well, you were the only one, and you were dead wrong. Anyway, what's next?
Stephanie White also dislikes The Incredibles. But moving
she
forward.
Likes Steven Universe, though.
I love Steven Universe.
I know. I've never seen it.
It's so me good. Neither. So, we talked a couple of weeks ago about we had a glimpse at Batman number 11, I believe, had Bane on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really excited because Bane is my all-time favorite Batman villain. I love Bane. And I've hated how they portrayed him in the movies for the most part. He actually wasn't bad in Dark Knight Rises, but...
To me, he was the best part of Dark Knight Rises.
He was. Like, I just didn't like how they ended it.
That, and the chauvinistic part of me, the part where Catwoman gets on the motorcycle. But that's the...
That was very fan service-y.
Yeah.
But at least it was better than Batman and Robin.
That's not saying much. Yeah, it's Batman and Robin. It's my favorite Batman movie.
Mmm.
Jeep Swinson, I will say, the dude looked like Bane.
Yeah.
Like, he had the muscles. He was huge.
The only downside is they made him from a skinny little crackhead.
Yeah, he had that Captain America syndrome.
Uh-huh. So anyway, yeah, it will be. There's going to be two more arcs. We've got Night of the Monster Men coming up, which is a crossover. I think it's only going to be 1 to 2 issues from Batman, and then it's also going to involve... I want to say it was Detective Comics and Nightwing, I think, was what it's going
I
to involve.
I think so, yeah.
But anyway, after that arc, we're going to get I Am Suicide is the name of the next arc, and then I Am Bane, and that will tie up Tom King's trilogy. I don't know if they're keeping him on after that or not, but those are the three arcs that he's definitely writing. And I'm really excited for an arc about Bane.
When was Bane created? Like, what was his first?
Dark Knight. Or Nightfall, yeah.
Nightfall, when he broke Batman's back.
So, like, yep. I'll figure
80s?
It out. 80s? No, 90s.
Yeah, it was 90s, like early
Was it
90s,
really?
Yeah, I'm checking
so
it right
he's only
now.
Been around for about 20 years plus.
Yeah, and after that, like, you know, he was the only villain, like, only Batman villain to ever win. And then they made him into a C-list bad guy.
What I hate about comics in general, and just entertainment entities... You know, overall, is after so long, like, what else can you do with these characters? Like, how many ways can you retell the same story? Rebirth, all new, all different.
I mean, we've gotten, like, okay, let's look at Scott Snyder's run of Batman,
Are we talking about New 52?
Yeah, New 52. Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't write any other Batman.
No. He was doing Detective before now. It.
Was he?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, the Black Mirror, Gates of Gotham, he did with Kyle Higgins.
Huh. Well, anyway, because I've never really read Detective.
So. Bane, 1993, created by Chuck Dixon, who, amazing 90s comic book writer.
Which I have that Nightfall trilogy.
It's really good. Yeah. But anyway, we've got... Scott Snyder's New 52 run. We introduced, that was the introduction of the Court of the Owls, which was, has been reused and was super popular because it was super awesome. We also got Bloom and then we got, three different Joker arcs in there that were all really, really good, yeah. But obviously no original characters in there. But we did get, several new characters in that run. So we're getting new stuff, but not a lot of new stuff in DC.
Not so much the new stuff, I'm just saying the old stuff. Like X-Men, how many times can Magneto decide he wants to turn on humanity? How many times can Apocalypse come back? How many times can Bane come back? How many times can the Joker get out and kill people to get put back into Arkham? How many times can you go with these characters in new and exciting ways? It's like The Simpsons. I love The Simpsons. 30 years later, you're going, why is this still a thing? How many times can you redress the same story and say, here's something fresh for you?
If you keep getting good writers like Scott Snyder.
You just called him Snot.
Yeah. I think the Gates of Gotham story right before New 52 was really good. It was the Kyle Higgins, Scott Snyder run. But if you have good writers, you can redo these stories over and over again, and I'm still interested. Death of the Family was probably my favorite arc from New 52. And, even with all the tie-ins, it was an amazing Joker story, which has never been seen before.
And they got a pretty penny out of me for that, all of the arcs they did, or all of the extra covers they did, because they released for every book involved in the Batman universe, they released a comic with a Joker mask on the cover, and I bought every one of them.
Because it was a cutout. The only one I have is from Nightwing, because I have that whole New 52 arc. Mm. It's the Joker, face cutout, and then you flip it over, and then it's Nightwing. So it's just a little cardboard and overlay on it, and you flip it out.
And
it's
really cool, and I have them all. they got a lot of money out of me for that one. But anyway, that's... I don't know. It's one of those things, as long as we've got good writers doing new stories, some of the times you get the big crossover events are just the same thing over again, but...
And I'm not complaining. I buy Dynasty Warriors every year.
That's true.
If I have to stop that yellow turban rebellion one more time, I'm going to scream.
But anyway, moving past that, Alan Moore, he is officially retiring from writing comic books.
I feel like the Asa of this show today, because when Asa's on Pro Wrestling Unscripted sometimes, and I bring up stories, he's just negative about everything. I feel like that's me today, because we talked about this before the show. I really don't like Alan Moore. I really don't like him. Not only do I think his comics are okay at best, sometimes good. He's written some good stuff, but he's given way too much credit for these comics and I'll probably get flack for saying it.
It's one of those things, he really has had a just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks kind of a career.
So I prefer Frank Miller myself.
Well,
Are you talking about people being a douchebag in comic books though? Because Frank Miller has been just as douchey.
Yeah, Frank Miller is actually way douchier.
Yeah. Is he?
Yes.
Alan Moore is the guy that won't watch the movies that are based on his work, but know that they're absolute garbage and the worst piece of filth because he's so good.
Frank Miller
has such an inflated sense of ego that he knows no one can do an accurate representation of his work without seeing them, mind you.
You also just described Frank Miller.
Yep.
Frank Miller helps write Alan the Moore. Movies that are based on his comics.
I'm there.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, you literally just described Frank Miller as well. They are in the same boat. They are from the same pod.
Does Frank Miller also worship an ancient snake as a religion? Moore does?
Maybe.
I doubt it.
I couldn't tell you.
How do you like Killing Joke? Did you like that movie?
That movie was okay at best.
I thought it was...
Well, after the first 30 minutes.
I even thought the Killing Joke wasn't really that great. The comic was a lot better. I think
that's Alan Moore's creation.
I know it's Alan Moore's creation. You don't have to school me on comic books, boy.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is he has contributed a lot to comic books.
Shannon didn't argue that. He said in his original point.
I absolutely believe he's
But what I'm saying is Frank Miller is okay. You remember Daredevil?
Yes.
Frank Miller refuses to watch Daredevil because they used part of his storyline, and they also used Elektra, which was an original character from Frank Miller. Frank Miller decided that there is no way that anybody could ever do his character justice because they didn't consult him. They didn't consult him on the character creation, so he just went on record and saying, this is the largest pile of trash ever. I'm not going to watch it.
Did you watch Elektra?
No, I'm talking about Elektra in Daredevil season 2.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that was bad. Like, I agree. But, yeah, no, Frank Miller is just like Alan Moore in that regard.
At least with Frank Miller, with that, is that if they didn't consult him, I could see you being upset about that.
I'd be mad.
I got upset when you guys made a Podzilla Facebook page without telling me. I did. You remember.
I
got
remember.
Angry.
Yeah, because Tanner made that, and I remember you got really upset because we already had the Blogzilla site.
Yeah, so I would be upset if someone used something of my creation without even telling me. But Alan Moore, they make these movies based on his work that he signs off on and then just goes, yeah, it's awful. I'm never going to look at it.
Well, you also have to think that with the whole not consulting, they don't have to consult Frank Miller or Alan Moore when they do these movies. They don't have to. They own all of the intellectual property that they wrote those stories about. It's their stories, but it's their characters.
But if it's a character they created, you know.
Did he create it under Marvel? That's Marvel's character.
Would it be nice to be asked, hey?
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, like, you can't judge the material just because they didn't ask you. Like, I would be pissed about, like, well, I really wish that I would have been asked, but that doesn't mean you trash the creation.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Alan Moore?
I like some of his stories, yeah.
Are you a fan of Alan Moore?
I like Alan Moore.
What's your favorite?
Killing Joke.
What do you like about Killing Joke?
I like it's a definitive Joker backstory, which we never really had before and really haven't had a good one since.
But not entirely definitive, because he himself says in the story that he likes multiple choice, and if he has a backstory, he likes to pick it, and it changes from time to time. So it's not a definitive Joker backstory.
It's the most definitive one that we have to date.
And I like the Killing Joke story, but there are parts of that that have even been, you know, dissected. Like, what happened to Batgirl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they literally just used Batgirl as a plot.
She was a prop.
Yeah, she was a prop.
That was her, you know. And have you ever read From Hell or League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, any of those? They're good, but they're not great. It's like he had the one thing that everyone said was amazing, which is the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
And wrote it.
And also The Watchmen.
And also The Watchmen.
Again, I read Watchmen. We both agree. Watchmen, the movie, is much better than Watchmen, the book.
Ending, the way they ended Watchmen, the movie, was significantly better. It made a whole lot more sense. It was a better ending. But we're in a huge minority.
It's like Daredevil. We say we love Daredevil, and there's like one other person that agrees with us.
Because I don't understand why, if you've got Dr. Manhattan, you are going to claim that you are going to build this weird alien-looking thing that obviously can't survive in our atmosphere because he died immediately after destroying New York City. Yeah. That's what's going to unite the planet? Okay.
Yeah, the ending of the movie was way better.
Alan Moore kind of reminds me of David S. Goyer. You know who David S. Goyer is?
Yeah. Remind me.
He's the guy that wrote The Dark Knight and Batman Begins and the Nolan trilogy.
Oh, he wrote... All right,
he's the guy that wrote the Nolan trilogy. Yeah, you know what else he wrote?
What?
The Unborn, which is by far the worst horror movie I've ever seen in my life. One of. You talk about movies you're going to walk out of, that's one of them. He also wrote Blade 3, which is the worst Blade movie.
Trinity.
Yeah. David S. Goyer writes these awful films, but because he wrote The Dark Knight, everyone talks about what an amazing comic movie writer he is.
Am I allowed to say the same thing about Frank Miller then?
Yes, absolutely.
About to say, because Frank Miller, he had The Dark Knight Returns, and then he had Dark Knight Strikes Again.
And Daredevil.
And then
Sin City.
But no, what I'm saying, though, is like he also had All-Star Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
Everybody has some stinkers.
Yeah. I'll take criticism all day. I really hated All-Star Batman and Robin. That gave one of the worst Batman quotes of all time, which we won't repeat here because of the censorship.
But, like, I mean, Frank Miller has ruined the universe, the Elseworld story that he created. By going back and back to it.
Alan Moore is also the person that said that adults shouldn't read comics, that it's for kids, and he thinks that adults who read comics are kind of pathetic.
Yeah, he wrote some of the most adult storylines ever. But anyway, let's move past it, because Alan Moore is also confirmed. One of the big things that's going around on the internet right now is that at the end of The Killing Joke, because a lot of people hadn't read it, now that the movie's out, a lot of people have seen the story.
Yeah.
An inferior version of the story, but the story.
Just skip the first 30 minutes, and then...
And then you've got, like, a good
story.
Well,
no, you can't skip the first 30 minutes, though, because it's important to parts of the last 30 minutes.
Well,
yeah. Like, you have to watch it to set up, like, what happens later, kind of. You
know? A little bit.
Yeah, sort of.
You don't want to watch it, but you kind of have to.
I would have been lost, probably, if I didn't see the beginning. Yeah, I was also thrown off by Batgirl in the beginning.
Oh, we all were.
That's the part. Yeah, that's the part that we're talking about, because that wasn't comic canon.
Yeah. Okay. If you cut that like part out, the first 30 minutes, and then you like open up the Killing Joke and watch the movie after that, it's almost completely word for word what was said.
If you don't know the Batgirl character, like let's say you're just buying this because you're one of the new Batman fans that joined in after Nolan, you know what I mean? Like the newer fans. And you watch this, you don't know who Barbara Gordon is, really. You're wondering why she's so important.
About Oracle, never heard of any of that.
So I didn't know that was Gordon's daughter. Like I think we said it on a show one day, and I was like, oh, all right.
Yep. So that first 30 minutes was to set you up, so you knew Batgirl was important to Batman.
Right.
In ways that were never a part of the comic, but...
Yeah, the whole them having sex thing was just absolutely ridiculous.
You know, he should just care about her because she was like a Robin, not because they...
No, and Batgirl saw her as a father figure.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Like, always in the comic books, always in the comic books, Batman has been a father figure to Barbara Gordon, not...
Well, she definitely called him daddy that day.
God.
Woo, Shannon.
So the way that book ended and the way the movie ended, a lot of people were saying, like, they thought Batman killed the Joker as they were laughing about the joke.
Yeah.
And that was going to be the end, or that's how it ended. Joker dies. Alan Moore has confirmed that, no, there's no... Batman killing the Joker. Batman stays resolute in his endeavor to never kill anyone. And that's just how it ends. So
I didn't know there was confusion. I thought it was pretty cut and dry.
I also thought that, but the internet kind of exploded recently with that. Like, we got to a point where my little brother texted me. He's like, "Have you seen the Killing Joke movie?" He's like, "Yes, I never read the book." And I don't know why I had to throw that last part in, but I did.
Well, I mean, even I was going to mention, because I had the Killing Joke for years, and after I watched the movie, I wanted to watch it again because of that same thing. Like, I saw it on the internet, and I was like, well, I forgot how the comic book ended. And it literally is. There's a still. It's the exact picture as, like, the last frame of the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's just you're looking into the puddle, and there's no ha-ha, there's no laughing. It's just a one little panel of just quietness, and then that puddle.
Yep.
I never once thought that the Batman killed the Joker in that.
But I will say that Batman laughing with the Joker at the end is my least favorite Batman moment of all time.
I remember, because I watched it in theaters with Mandy, and she was just like laughing at like the most, because Kevin Conroy doing the Batman laugh.
Oh yeah
that was
so awkward.
Well, not only that, I thought it was funny.
It's just stupid. Like, everyone says when Batman kills people in Batman v Superman, that's completely against Batman. That makes no sense to me. Batman laughing with the Joker after the Joker did this awful thing to someone he loves so much is ridiculous. If someone hurt someone I loved and paralyzed them and took naked pictures of them and molested them and raped them possibly, I'm not gonna sit there and have a goddamn laugh with them. I will break every bone in his body. And Batman is the kind of crime fighter that does all of these things and stays resolute. Stern face, all that. You're telling me he's going to have a laugh with his greatest enemy after he did something like that? That is horrible writing.
The way that it worked out in the story, though, where he had just had like that actual moment with the Joker, where the Joker had talked about, like, listen, like, he said, or the Batman tried to say, like, I can help you. Like, we can make this better. And, you know, that's where you got the backstory with the Joker, where you know that he wasn't always a bad guy. And then Batman has that moment where it's just, like, that real moment where the Joker wasn't being a lunatic. The Joker wasn't saying, like, all sorts of crazy stuff. He just said, like, I can't get help, and I don't trust you to help me. Like, I'm never going to get better.
If the Joker has that moment of clarity, that means he's not completely insane. If he's not completely insane, that means you're having a laugh with someone that did something horrible knowingly, not because he was crazy, but because he chose to do it.
You can be a crazy person and have moments of lucidity.
Would you have a laugh with someone that did that to someone you love?
I mean, I'm not saying I would, but I'm saying it.
That's terrible writing. That's awful.
Well,
I'm saying, like, it's still realistic in my opinion. Like, maybe not quite that much. Like, I could see Batman chuckling at it.
Maybe
I don't
going
see
ha.
Him, I don't see him going raffle.
He went full on Titus in Final Fantasy X. You know,
have you ever?
Yeah, we're running out of time, so let's stay on track here.
Sorry, I don't mean to be so negative today.
No, you're good.
That is one of my sore spots.
Well, it's mostly Dalton trying to argue with you, like every point, and not well.
No, he's doing sweet baby.
I'm kidding, Dalton.
You're doing fine.
I'm kidding. Everything's fine.
Please don't cut yourself after the show. Like, you've been getting trashed on.
All right, so moving on from some comic book and movie news, we got some video game stuff that I definitely want to talk about.
We can all agree on this.
What's that?
What you're about to say.
Oh, yeah. This will, this
we got
will
a, we got a new Pokemon trailer.
Yes.
We didn't get much new information. It was mostly a recap of everything they've shown us so far. The game looks epic. I'm actually really excited for this game, which is the most excited I've been for in a Pokemon game in a long time.
I'm actually going to play it.
Yeah, which is
for the first time ever.
all we really got, we got a few glimpses of some things, like some new Z moves, some new evolution stuff. But one of the big things we got to see the Raticate, the evolved form of the Alolan Rattata.
Mandy, do you not like the new Raticate?
It looks like he found some bad friends.
So nasty looking. Like,
so those Raticates came from the wrong side of the track.
I don't even want to catch it because I don't want that around my other Pokemon.
Do you love me, Mandy? Be strong, Mandy.
be strong for Oak.
So, like, did you catch him? I'll be like, no, I did not catch that nasty Raticate. Are you kidding me? Oak, nah.
We went out roasting Raticates today. But anyway, like, we got the Rattata. Like, it was the dark version. So it's interesting looking. And then you got Raticate's also dark version. And he looks less mangy than the original Raticate. Like, he doesn't have the weird hair sticking up all over the place. It doesn't look dirty.
Someone finally took care of him and fed him.
Raticate was caught by a person with Alzheimer's, and they kept forgetting when they fed him.
Or just some real sicko that gets off on, you know, like the, never mind. There's a whole fetish I'm not even going to talk about on the show.
Yeah, please not, especially not on Nerd Up.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
But yeah, no, the joke is that Raticate is, he put on some weight in the Alolan form. He got a little lazy on the island.
He looks very familiar.
Well, that's because, like, you only catch him because you have no one else in the beginning, and then you get to the better Pokemon and you can him to the PC.
That's true. No one's using Rattata by the Elite Four.
Oh, I just released him. That PC's worthless to me.
Yeah. We didn't get a whole lot of stuff. We did get to see Oak's cousin, because a lot of people noticed this person in the trailer that looks a whole lot like Oak, but he hit the tanning bed hard.
Well, he lives in Hawaii.
And he grew his hair out.
Yeah.
Because he has, like, long hair. Similar to, it looked kind of in the trailer, Mandy, you're looking at me funny, like Jesse from Team Rocket. It almost looked like that, but white hair.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And a lot of people are like,
What
is Oak doing? Did Oak retire to Alola? And then Nintendo confirmed, or Game Freak, one of them confirmed that it's Oak's cousin. And I guess we'll get more information about that in the game. It looked kind of interesting. We got a definitive release date on BioShock Collection, which, I mean, I've talked about before. I'm really excited about. I'm huge.
You're a big
fan
of BioShock
series. Oh, yeah. Love BioShock. Getting the collection on September 15th.
I will say.
In 4 days?
Yes.
Oh, God.
May I ask a question? Because I just never played them.
Sure.
Are they canonical? If I buy it, do I need to play 1, 2, and Infinite? Or
2 is a prequel to 1.
BioShock?
It's a bit.
No, you don't need to play BioShock 2 at all. You can play BioShock Infinite and BioShock 1 in whatever order, but there's DLC to BioShock. There's stuff in BioShock Infinite that you won't get unless you've played the first one, Easter eggs and stuff.
So if I was to buy this on Tuesday,
you'll want to play the first one first.
Play the first one first.
Yes.
And part 2 isn't as good. It's not. We all know that. But it's kind of cool because you get to play as a Big Daddy.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
You get to play as one of the alpha big daddies.
It's like a medium daddy.
And you get, because you're a big daddy that, you're an experimental big daddy that can use plasmids.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is interesting, but it's just not good.
Right.
And they talked about a lot of things that were supposed to be a much bigger deal than they were, like the Big Sisters, which is an original character for BioShock 2.
Yeah.
Some of the little sisters, I guess, become they kind of get stuck, or one of the little sisters gets stuck there, is the way they originally told us. And she becomes a big daddy, sort of, as a little sister. And she's actually going to the beach and stealing little girls from the beach to make them little sisters to later
you'll
become.
You'll get it
big
when you
sisters.
Play the game. Trust me.
It's not great writing.
I only played the first one, and I didn't play a lot of it. I played about half of it. But I will say one of my favorite moments in gaming of all time was the first time I saw a Big Daddy, And they don't do anything to you. They're peaceful. They're just walking around. But they're physically imposing. Yeah.
Yeah. Of the little sister.
But if you get anywhere near it or attack it, it turns red and charges after you. And it was one of the scariest things. Me and Bob both jumped when we saw it. Because that thing just turns at you and just goes. It's
pretty crazy. And the first time you see the Big Daddy in the game, so I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the first time you see it is also like kind of terrifying. Just because you see one before you fight one.
Yeah.
And you weren't able to fight the one you see until a little later. But whew. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff.
And you don't even have to really fight them. That's true.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You can choose to not kill these little girls.
The very first one, I think you do have to fight because they want you to, like, it's kind of in the way it's set up in the game is to show you how it works. Either way, it's a great game, great series. And, yeah, you can play Bioshock Infinite or Bioshock in whatever order, but there are Easter eggs in Bioshock Infinite relating to Bioshock.
So if I was to buy it, which I am thinking about because I've always heard great things about those games, play one, play Infinite. Is that what I just heard?
Okay. And then if you're just really desperate for more Bioshock, play two. And because it's a fun romp through kind of the universe, but the writing is just terrible.
Gotcha. I still think one's the best because it was such a – just the way it was – the world itself.
It's so good. It's Rapture really good. Is amazing. Yeah. Like it's because it's this underwater utopia.
Yeah, I know that.
So cool.
And then isn't Infinite like base
sky world?
Sky, yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually like 20 years before the first Bioshock.
And that ending will just—it'll mess you up if you haven't played the first one. It's very—it's weird.
Yeah.
The ending to Infinite's weird. I know it, even though I never played it. It was spoiled to me.
It's a crazy ending. It's really, really cool. Like it's one of those like because they said there weren't going to be any twist endings or there weren't going to be any twists in Bioshock Infinite like there were in the first Bioshock. They lied until the DLC anyway. Kind of explains a little bit more. But moving past it, Bioshock, definitely pick that up if you guys haven't played the game or if you haven't, you want to relive it. It's so good. Metroid Federation Force is the next thing I wanted to talk about.
Is that a TV show? Sounds like a TV show.
It's a video game. For those of you that haven't heard of it, it's a spinoff of the Metroid games. It does not have Samus. It's just a game in the same universe as Samus. And
we got Beepy in the background. Sorry, it's a little distracting.
Yeah, Beepy's going at it.
Who would have thought that a game about Metroid, called Metroid, with such a devoted fan base who hasn't had a Metroid game legit since Metroid Prime 3 Corruption on Wii would be upset that they released a new Metroid game that has nothing to do with Samus Aran. Who would have thought the backlash this Sunday on pay-per-view would have been so bad against Nintendo for this? What a stupid idea. You could have called this anything else, but you wanted to tie it into Metroid. So you slapped a Metroid title on it.
Basically, it was almost insulting to Metroid fans because they were really just trying to throw everyone a bone.
Yeah.
Like, well, everybody's complaining we haven't had a Metroid game since Other M, and it was atrocious.
Yeah.
So let's just throw them something Metroid. So they did that, and they did it with Federation Force. And the reviews have been mixed to average.
Kind of like the new Star Fox.
Yeah,
it's like
mixed. Like it's one of those things. Like, it's all right. It's kind of fun.
It's a game.
It's a game.
Yeah.
But
did you like the dark world and the scary exploration of the old Metroid games? Yeah, I really did. Then don't buy this game. This is a team shooter.
It's a colorful team shooter. It's weird.
Oh, well, but, I have Overwatch for that.
It sold less than 4,000 copies in Japan in the first at launch. Which, if anybody's going to eat up Nintendo games, Japan.
If you can only sell 4,000 copies of a Nintendo game in Japan.
And not just a Nintendo game.
You better.
It's a major title.
Yeah, a Metroid game.
You better just destroy all the carts and put that on the digital store and hope that more than 4,000 people buy it in America.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It released in America a month ago. No one knew.
I didn't know. I don't even think I saw it in store.
I haven't.
Put it this way, a Mario game when it's released, in Japan especially, will crack the top 10 and usually be number 1, number 2. And overall sales for these games are usually the equivalent or more than Call of Duty or stuff that's on multi-platform. And Nintendo, of course, Mario is just on Nintendo.
Right.
So if you have a game on Nintendo that outsells a multi-platform game that's huge, you know there's a huge market for Nintendo games. If Metroid couldn't even crack the top 10... on release,
the Metroid game couldn't crack 10,000 copies.
Yeah, that's bad.
And in the UK, you know what outsold Metroid in the first month of release?
What?
Mario Kart 7.
Like, wait a minute. It outsold in the same month, and Mario Kart 7's been out for how long?
5 years.
And it's still outsold
Metroid Federation Force.
Yeah, how good is Mario Kart 7?
Oh, it's amazing.
Really I like
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah,
it's
awesome. We might be having to go to Walmart after this show then.
So
I think we got a copy here at Gaming Grounds at 709 Broadway for
all
your
gaming
needs.
We need the DS, though.
I need a DS,
right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, we got that here at GameStop.
No, I already
checked.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoops.
Oh, no. We're at Gaming Grounds. Anyway.
At 709 Broadway.
But you know what? Nintendo's a lot like Vince McMahon. He's going to see this. Just like when Vince McMahon sees the ratings go down, and he's just going to...
He's going to blame the fans.
He's going to close his ears and go, la, 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 la. No, it's fine.
Wait
it's
a minute.
Fine.
Is Lesnar going to come and bloody Mario? That's what he does whenever ratings are down.
Maybe he needs that. Mario needs to take an ass whooping.
Oh, from Samus.
That's a bigger guy.
All right. The next thing I want to talk about, like, we'll move past that. Like, I...
There's nothing else to say.
There's really nothing else
Metroid
to say.
Metroid tanked. Nintendo, get straight.
Nintendo, give us
make
another
a real
game.
Metroid game.
Give me Samus. Anyway, the Sony conference.
Oh.
Or Sony in general. Sony's had a couple of interesting marketing choices in the last week.
In their history.
In their history.
You remember E3?
Oh, I do. So Sony, in the last week, they had their conference where they unveiled the PS4 Slim, which we had seen a while back, and like it leaked on the internet, but also the PS4 Pro, which looks like a double-decker Slim.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it looks kind of funky.
It's weird looking.
It,
yeah,
I don't approve.
It's the PS4.
Well, don't
Big
worry,
Mac.
Mandy. Neither did the internet.
The internet did not.
I agree with the internet. What
for once?
So we got the PS4 Slim, which is going to release at $299.99, and then we've got the PS4 Pro, which is going to release at $399.99. The PS4 Pro touts significantly better hardware than the PlayStation 4 has had in the past, so much so that it can play games in 4K resolution. If you have a 4K TV and the game supports it. They're also developing a Netflix application so you can watch movies in 4K. YouTube is developing an application so you can watch certain YouTube videos in 4K. Now, I know you're wondering, like, cool, I can start buying 4K Blu-rays.
This is your best 4K Blu-ray player right here.
It is not.
What?
It does not play 4K Blu-ray discs.
That doesn't make any sense.
It
the
really
words
doesn't.
You're saying don't make sense.
No, here's the thing. It has to be able to play it. Like, it has to be able to play that kind of disc because it's playing it on a PS4, which is a way more... Is it... I'm assuming a PS4 4K game probably has more data like going through it than what a movie would. I don't know a whole lot. No, is it the exact same thing?
It's a Blu-ray disc.
It's just a Blu-ray disc? Why? Then it can play it. They're just not supporting it.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. So it'll play 4K games.
Yeah.
On disc.
Yeah.
But not movies.
Yeah.
That's the thing to remember. They will patch it.
Well, the thing is, like, the way the games are working, and I think this is the difference, the way the games are working, there's no difference between, like, the disc that you buy for the PS4, like if you buy a PS4 game, if it has 4K support, the disc is the same. It'll play in your PS4, it'll play in your PS4 Pro. But if you have a PS4 Pro, it'll download a patch and let you play in 4K resolution. But 4K Blu-ray movies, no.
So a 4K Blu-ray disc is different than a regular Blu-ray disc.
But Jesse,
not to my knowledge.
But Jesse, what 4K system will play 4K Blu-rays?
The Xbox Scorpio, codename Scorpio.
Doesn't the Xbox One Slim also does it, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah. The Slim, I'm pretty sure, plays 4K as well. That was one of the big things. So you know who's really laughing about this right now? Microsoft. You remember when they announced the Xbox One and the PS4, how PlayStation made that cute little video where it was like, hey, you want to know how to play, you know, your friend's games? And it just showed him handing a game to another guy and putting it in the system because Microsoft had that stupid policy at first.
The DRM.
Oh, yeah. Microsoft's laughing now because not only did Sony come out with this after they came out with theirs, but it's an inferior product.
Yeah, the Xbox One S... or as codename for Slim, as per usual, starting at $299.99, will play Ultra HD 4K Blu-ray and streaming. And it'll support HDR with a high dynamic range, which is what enables the 4K video games.
Yep.
So as Xbox starts doing that. And no, yeah, I talked about this last week. Like, Xbox has been killing it. Whenever because Sony last week talked about their raising prices of PlayStation Plus, despite not giving us anything for the price increase.
Nope. So let's review real quick Sony's last 2 weeks. So they're raising, or just in the past month or so, they're raising the price of their online service.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a system that is meant for next to no one in comparison to the Xbox system.
Mm-hmm.
Really, who is their audience that wants to play 4K games, not 4K movies, when they could pick an Xbox One and do all of it? And
$100 cheaper,
$100 cheaper, more importantly. Yep. And then the next thing we're going to talk about, which I'm going to let you say right now so I don't steal it from you.
Oh, the are you talking about the Fallout?
I am talking about Fallout and mods in general.
Yeah, so so Sony went official. Bethesda has been working tirelessly for months now to get the mod shop open for Fallout 4 and Skyrim on the PlayStation 4, a service that has been rolled out on Xbox for months now and PC since release.
Yep.
Is they've been trying to get it on Sony for the, you know, their PlayStation 4 fans. Sony has gone ahead and went official and saying, like, no, we don't want that marketplace on here.
Yeah, Bethesda actually busted them out on their website and said, despite all of our hard work, Sony will not let us put mods on there.
Yeah, like, it's really just a slap in the face to Bethesda, because Bethesda, it's not like Bethesda was waiting on permission from Sony to do this. Bethesda has been working since release. Like, they've been working concurrently with the Xbox and PlayStation to get this mod workplace open for both platforms. And they had it up and ready and working for PlayStation. And then PlayStation's like, about that. So you're going to give free mods to everybody? Ooh.
So is it free? That was one thing I've never...
No, it's absolutely free. Yeah, the Xbox
it's
One
is created.
The only time it was never free, and Jesse, you remember this is one of the biggest mistakes in history. Yeah. Steam started charging, letting people charge for their mods. So if you wanted to buy a mod for Skyrim or Fallout, it wasn't at the time of Fallout 4, but Fallout 3 in New Vegas, you could buy the mods from these people because these people work hard on these mods.
Yeah, you have to go in and screw with it. Yeah.
The problem was that people would charge outrageous prices. They would steal people's mods and then re-upload them and sell them themselves.
Like popular, basically, yeah. Like, yeah, the
like
really
Macho Dragon from Skyrim.
Much, yeah, like, well, really popular mod creators. Like they were stealing other users' stuff that were, you know, putting stuff up for free. And like, oh, well, that's a really cool mod.
And monetizing it.
I'm going to take it and then use my popular name to make money off of it.
Yeah.
And now they very quickly took that back. Now there's a donation system.
That was a bad mistake.
Yeah, if you really like the mod or the creator of the mod, you can give them money if you want to.
Yeah.
But now it's completely free.
Yeah.
So you can download mods. I have the Xbox One NPC version, and I download mods all the time. The biggest problem, I think, from Sony's perspective, and I don't know for sure, but this is just me speculating, is that they didn't want copyrighted material on their system. Because one of the big things with mods, you know, there's like lightsabers, there's characters from other games, and they didn't want that on their system.
They didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah. Or maybe if it was the hardware, if it's a hardware thing and they just couldn't get it to work right, because Bethesda for the longest time was saying, we're trying to get it to work. There was a beta for it and there were problems with it because Sony was, I don't know if it was Sony was the problem or the beta was the problem, but they tried to do it and they worked on it for months nonstop and then just, never mind. JK, GG, go back to Xbox One. It's cheaper over there, and you can play 4K games.
Yeah, so, and I don't know if you, because I think I heard you comment on that a second ago, Mandy, but yeah, that price hike on PlayStation Plus is legit. It's happening this month.
Well, then I guess I'll buy Overwatch on PC. So, F you, PlayStation. Thanks.
Because PlayStation Plus is now $60 per year, which matches Xbox Live up from $50. And from $18 per 3 months to $25 per 3 months.
Which, it's in all honesty, it's like it's not the biggest rate increase in history, nor is it unfair because that is the Xbox price.
But PS3 was freaking free.
That's true.
So let's be a-holes. Thanks, PlayStation.
And also, why are you increasing it? That's the thing that I get. They never said why.
Yeah, I'm completely okay with, like, I was okay with having to do PlayStation Plus for PS4 because they introduced features for PlayStation Plus that I really like voice chat.
Yeah,
is a thing.
The PS3 online gameplay was garbage.
It was terrible.
The party system was garbage. Everything was garbage.
So bad.
Yeah.
And PlayStation 4 was a huge improvement, so it was really okay. And then you had the Instant Game Collection, which existed long before Xbox had games for gold. And it was, you know, it was a really cool service. It was awesome. And I would be okay with paying, like, I was A-okay with paying the $50 per year. I would even be okay with paying $60 per year if, say, for example, the Instant Game Collection stopped sucking.
Yeah.
Because they haven't given us anything good since Rocket League.
I mean, this month it's Lords of the Fallen, which is decent.
It's a $20 game.
Yeah, it's really, compare that to Xbox Gold last month was like WWE 2K16.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you're a fan of, this is deja vu, I swear I've said this before, whether or not you're a fan of wrestling, that's last year's title. I mean, it's a big game. It's still $30-$40 everywhere.
Yeah, and then whenever like 2K16 NBA came out, that was the last big game PS4 had, and I still downloaded it because it was, I mean,
it's a big title.
It's a big title for a quality, I mean, it's quality for free, but PS4 doesn't have that consistently.
It's mostly indie titles, which yeah. nothing against indie games, because indie games are fine and it's something we need.
But if you just gave away a $40 game for free on Xbox One, and I'm getting Journey, which, don't get me wrong, Journey is a beautiful game, and Lords of the Fallen, like, I feel like I'm getting shafted on all of this.
Yeah, because, and that's the thing, like, I'd be okay with a price increase if there was something associated with it. Like, yeah, guys, we're raising the prices, but don't worry, we're going to do this, this, and this.
Next month's free game is Destiny. Oh, okay.
But instead,
not bad.
Asus yeah, still wouldn't go if, back and
if
play
it's,
it.
Yeah, if it's one of those things, like, you get...
we're so entitled.
Right, yeah, a little bit. But it's one of the, yeah, like, it's silly. Because they're not giving us anything. They went on record and said, we're raising the prices to match market value. Which means Xbox is doing it, so can we. That's it.
Xbox is also killing it.
Yeah.
Xbox, like... And I talked about this last week. I think Asa disagreed with me because Asa's still a little upset with how hesitant or reluctant Xbox was to go back on some of the less popular features.
Like the Kinect and
the DRM and all that other stuff. And, yeah, the Kinect. But Xbox, like, has done a great job at listening to the community and providing a product that everybody wants.
Yeah.
And now we are getting, like, this is the ultimate, just, like, Xbox is now has this, like, that is now the superior service.
Xbox, like... Xbox is like that underdog that everyone kind of counted out. He was the lower guy, but now through hard work and, you know, goodwill, he has now taken over and he is on top. Whereas Sony pissed away their entire advantage.
Exactly, and it's one of those things like
Nintendo is still on the bottom.
Yeah,
that's the only way to stay consistent. It's been a tug of war since the Xbox. Original Xbox and PlayStation 2. It's been a tug of war the entire time.
Well, that's the thing. If you go back and look at all this, like Xbox and PS2, yeah, it was a little bit of a tug of war when Halo came out, was a big system seller for Xbox, but PlayStation 2 is still very clearly top dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, PS2 had that market.
And then the next generation, PlayStation shot themselves in the foot immediately
by
with their price.
$600 console.
Yes. And then Xbox 360, in my opinion, was a much better console than the PS3.
It was.
Other than the Blu-ray.
Yeah. It had the Blu-ray stuff. And then what ended up happening, like the 360 was completely dominant, like on top. And they stayed that way. They won that generation.
Yeah.
But PlayStation 3 worked. You know, they did the same thing that Xbox is doing this generation.
Well, I think technically Nintendo won that generation. Because the Wii outsold.
Yeah, well,
I don't think the final numbers like reflected that.
We should look. I'm curious to see what the answer is to that.
I also want to look that up. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Xbox 360.
But that was the last time Nintendo
was comparative. Between Xbox and PlayStation, Xbox won last generation.
Yeah.
And PlayStation, by the end of that generation, or by the end of that hardware cycle, they had a superior console. Like the PS3 played Blu-ray. The PS3 had, you know, the PlayStation Plus feature, which had the instant game collection, and Games for Gold was, you know, still far and away.
And the games were superior. Like, take Final Fantasy on Xbox 360 versus on the PS3.
Yeah, they looked better on the PS3 because PS3 had
one
better
disc
hardware.
Looked better, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, Blu-ray. Like, that's the big thing. Like, you were getting these, you know, like, five-disc games on Xbox that were one-disc games on PlayStation.
Yep. Talking to you, L.A. Noir.
Right?
The only reason I bought the PS3 was to get Little Big Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had no one to hang out and play with this. And I went and got a 360, and I really liked that. And then when they introduced, like... What is it, like the Slim, I guess, the PS3? Mm-hmm. Then I like went back and bought it for like Kingdom Hearts remixes.
I remember you bought the PS3. You bought it from me
because
you didn't want the Killzone game that was in it. And I forget, someone bought it off of you.
No, I think Mandy was talking to me about that because I was like, well, you can do this and just trade all this crap in out of it. And actually go towards the price of it. And then, I think she came in and dealt with you.
Yeah.
But
I still remember when you bought it.
I was want a Little Big Planet. And so, then my friend Lucas bought it off me because I was like, I just watched Netflix on this and I have a 360.
It's a Netflix box.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and
that's
then
all
I got
the
it back.
PS3 was.
Yeah.
That's like, all the PS3 is now. Allie's got my PS3 and she just uses it for Netflix.
Whenever I had my PS3, I ended up trading it in because Best Buy ran a stupid deal. And all I used it for, though, was watching Blu-ray movies and Netflix. Because I didn't want to use my 360 to watch Netflix because I was afraid it would burn out.
Yep.
Despite like how awesome the Xbox 360 was, that was a problem.
That first run model was
garbage. That red ring of death.
Yeah,
that red ring of death. Like the games were great, the system was great, everything was great, but that red ring.
Tales of Vesperia is one of my favorite, which I'm so peed because they won't bring it on PS4 to America.
Mm-hmm.
That goofy looking wireless adapter that you had to put on a 360 to
the original model.
Yeah, those things were so dumb.
I have a Ninja Gaiden skin on it.
$50.
But yeah, they were more than that.
But don't worry.
Whenever I bought one, it was like $50, and that was in 2011.
Yeah, in 2005, they were $80 peripherals.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Microsoft's laughing all the way to the bank right now.
Yeah.
Well,
they can't really do any wrong.
The thing is, PlayStation is still outselling
right now. But if Sony thinks that this isn't going to matter, especially around we're almost at Christmas. Black Friday is 2 months away. Uh-huh. Let me repeat that. Black Friday is 2 months away. We are 4 months away from Christmas. Three months away from Christmas.
When parents are going to be looking at when parents are going to be looking September. At what system they want to buy their kids. If you know kids, like if kids are actually doing the research on it or anything like that. Whenever you're trying to make a decision, well, do I want to buy my child an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4? And you know, if they have a 4K TV, the Xbox is the clear choice.
Yeah,
$100 cheaper, and you get 4K.
Yeah,
it's the exact opposite of the original this gen center. It's like, right. Oh, you mean this one's $100 cheaper?
And the ridiculous thing about that, because I always hear about that argument, the Xbox One when it originally came out was $100 more than the PlayStation 4. Yes.
Yep.
But the Xbox One included the Kinect.
Yeah.
If you wanted the Kinect, they should have done two separate systems, but they didn't because they were afraid that no one would buy the Kinect, and they were right.
It's also important to note that the original plan for the PS4 included the camera at the same price as the Xbox One, but when they saw the backlash against Microsoft, they took that camera out.
And
made it cheaper.
People still wanted that camera. We couldn't keep that thing in stock.
So they were paying the same price, more or less.
Yeah, because I think you saved $40 because the camera peripheral was $60.
Yeah.
But you were getting way more hardware out of a Kinect than you were the PlayStation I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at Christmas this season. Okay, if you are a parent, remember last generation with Xbox 360 and PS3, the important thing was PS3 is free online. That's mm-hmm. what everyone focused on. That's why they bought the PS3. It doesn't cost anything to play online. Everything else is just about the same.
Right.
You know, this generation, it's $100 cheaper, which is what parents are going to look at. Kids are, since it's the same price online, the people that know video games, like college kids or adults like us, are going to look at the features. Xbox One has better features. There is nowhere in this entire war at this Christmas time where the PlayStation is superior in any way. It is going to shoot them dead feet. And then the backlash against them not putting in mods. If you're a gamer who likes me, how many people do you know that love Skyrim and are hyped for the Skyrim re-release?
You remember the initial Skyrim Midnight release?
I do. It was fantastic. It was so much fun.
And yeah, we had a line going. We were at the GameStop in the mall, and we had a line going all the way down that wing of the mall to our store.
Yeah.
Like, it was huge. We had at least 200 people at that midnight release.
And now all of those people across the globe who are maybe getting an Xbox One or a PS4 for the first time this Christmas are going to look at that and go, well, I can't even get mods for it. You know, what else are they going to do to me? They're going to pick Xbox.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, if anybody researches, is it the only way that the PlayStation 4 beats it? Because they are releasing the Slim, which will be the same price as the Xbox Slim. And I think that might confuse consumers just enough to keep PlayStation in the game for Christmas.
Or you have a bunch of people that are just like, all right, I'm finally buying one of the newer systems. What do all my friends have? And at this point, a lot more people are going to have the PlayStation 4.
That's
and I
true.
Mean, I'm not arguing the thing.
No, you're
that.
Right.
That's
no, the right.
thing. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's one of those things. There's no reason that PlayStation should outsell Xbox this Christmas. But it likely will still match it because of the Slim. There's absolutely no reason. Like, nobody's going to buy the PlayStation 4 Pro over the Xbox One Slim.
No.
I would hope
there
not.
Shouldn't be a reason.
That was my reason, though, was you guys all had a PS4, and I was like, all right, well, that and Kingdom Hearts. But let's be real, I'll buy my kid a Sega Saturn because he doesn't have to download any games, and it has Saturn Bomberman, which is one of the best games, and you can play with a million people. Boom. Because I'm tired of, like, buying a disc and then waiting an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't even know you guys yet whenever I bought my PS4. And I was sitting at Hastings, and I was just like, all right. And I was going down, like, my work friends. I was like, all right, which one do you have? There was one guy that had an Xbox One. Everybody else had a PS4. That's why I bought a PS4.
PS4 is $100 cheaper.
I had the Xbox One originally because Jesse knows me. I buy everything new when it comes out. I have to. I'm compulsive like that.
So I remember the Wii U was the funniest one.
That was a mistake. I bought the Xbox One because Lonnie talked me into it because Lonnie was showing me all the cool things he could do on his Xbox One. And then the next week, the PlayStation came out. So I traded that Xbox One in and got the PS4. Now, I play my Xbox One more. I
see you on it a lot.
Yeah, I have my PS4 and my Xbox One on the same TV, and I usually play my Xbox One. Like, I'll get on my PS4, and I'll just kind of look around because I have all these games for it. But I more often than not just play Xbox.
I mean, when I do multiplayer games, yeah, I'll be on PlayStation.
Because everybody else has it.
Yeah, but if I'm playing a single player game, I'd rather play it on Xbox. I prefer the controller.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's no argument here. I love the Xbox controller.
It's so good. It's been so good for so long. But anyway,
maybe that's because Sony hasn't changed their controller since the PlayStation 1.
And that's a huge improvement.
Steven just laughed and looked over here when I said that.
And that's why I like the PS4 controller more.
I like the Xbox controller better.
It's muscle memory at that point. I know how this controller feels. The Xbox has changed their controller shape a lot over like the last three cycles.
Once.
Yeah.
How many times did they change it, Dalton?
One. No, they changed it more than once.
No, the original Xbox, it went from the big one to the slim one, and then it went to the 360 style. The 360 is almost exactly the same as the Xbox One. It's just, it is a little different, but the button placement's the same.
Yep.
Yeah.
For the most part, it feels better.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have the bumpers from the Xbox One to the 360.
Yeah, they did.
No?
The original Xbox, I think he said.
The original Xbox. Yeah, they didn't
you
have bumpers.
You said Xbox One.
Don't you do that.
And that's why I hate Microsoft. Yeah. Because
you can't just call it the Xbox One. Just call it the Xbox.
No one called
Xbox
it the Xbox One until the Xbox One was announced. Oh, and then how many people started coming in here saying, you guys got the Xbox One? No, that's not out yet. I played it 10 years ago. You mean the original Xbox?
Because everybody called. That was the difference. The original Xbox and the 360.
It's just called Xbox.
Or Xbox. Yeah. Do you have it on Xbox or 360? Because we didn't even throw in that term.
Yeah.
Xbox or 360. And then the Xbox One was announced, and suddenly everybody's just being a smart aleck about it.
I wasn't being a smart aleck. That was a Freudian slip.
Like, I blame you, the consumer, for all of the problems.
Anyway, I really like the 360 controller, though.
Yeah, the 360 controller is the best controller to ever hit console.
The Xbox One
controller is also really, really good. I just haven't put enough time into it to truly appreciate
it. It's even better than the 360. It feels so good when it's in my hands and I can touch it. Oh, God.
But anyway, we're running a little bit over on time here, so I'm going to go ahead and do the press start to join plug once again. Until they tell me to do something different. Josh, I know you're listening. If you want me to say something else, just send me an email, dude. But yeah, they've got this season for Extra Life, which we've done with Podzilla 1985.
We did last year, yeah.
We might do again this year. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but
this time without the BS.
Yeah. So anyway, press start to join. It's this awesome little show out of Canada. The huge supporters of Podzilla 1985. We love those guys. They put out some quality content for Extra Life this year. They are doing, based on how far they get to their goal, which all their charity is going to go to the Children's Hospital in their city. Alan and Josh will have a challenge. Alan will be playing Dark Souls on a deprived run, which I don't know enough about Dark Souls to tell you.
Deprived means you have like no stats. It's ultra hard mode.
Woo!
Good luck.
That's gonna be rough. And Josh will be playing Arkham Asylum on the hardest difficulty for at least 3 hours each.
Have fun with that.
Have
fun
both of those.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds awful because I know about Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
It's also want to say, Josh, you look great in your Podzilla 1985 shirt.
Yes. You can find Press Start to Join on Instagram. They're pimping our gear. If you want you a Podzilla 1985 t-shirt.
Just like Josh.
Yep. Go to redbubble.com and search keyword Podzilla 1985.
It looks good, and now we have Podzilla in Canada officially has landed.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And they actually had an episode released yesterday, really good. They talked about Apple, Nintendo, and Sony.
There you go.
Yeah.
So if you want to donate to their Extra Life campaign, which I highly recommend doing,
it's a good charity.
extra-life.org/team/PS2J show. Just check them out. Donate if you can. It's going to a great cause. They're a great group of guys. Also, if you want your show advertising, whatever, plugged on this show or any other show on the PZ85 network, just head over to patreon.com/podzilla1985. You can become a donor, and we will plug whatever you want, so long as it's not anti-Semitic or racist or, you know, whatever.
Huh. Can I do the plug for Villainous Grounds?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never got to do one before. So Villainous Grounds, of course, we talk about the show all the time. It's a great comic book store in Perryville. But I want to point out that they have the best coffee.
Oh, yeah.
They have the best coffee. And you guys have probably said that on the show before. But I'm going to Villainous Grounds. I'm literally going as soon as this show is over. And I'm going to go get me a Samoa. Which is just about the best damn coffee I've ever had
in
my life.
It's so tasty. I actually wanted to plug that when I was talking about Tom King's Batman arc. So if you're interested in jumping in on the Batman arc, on this Rebirth arc with Tom King, head over to Villainous Grounds. They can get you the hookup. At the very least, they can get you in on By I Am Bane. And yeah, they can get you set up with a pull list.
A great cup of coffee.
And a great cup of coffee.
And good people, too.
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome. That is the nicest store owners I've ever met.
I see them almost every morning, and every time they have a smile and they talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like every time we come in there, we roll in there every other Friday. I go in to pick up my comics. And yeah, they're always super friendly, super happy to see us.
Yep.
And then Thursday, we're going to have that great show about Poplar Bluff. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's gonna be
Lindsay will be joining us for that one, and it's going to be great. We have a lot of stories to tell.
All right. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Dalton, Shannon, and Mandy for joining me. We'll talk to you guys next time.